Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw the hurt. He saw the pain. He saw the tiredness. He saw what the enemy was doing to the world. And we as believers need to see what the enemy is doing to the world. Go over to Matthew chapter 14. Starting with verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." And the question I ask tonight is, are we like Jesus, where we see the multitude and move with compassion, or are we like the disciples where we see the multitude and say, "Let them go and do things on their own. Let them handle the situation on their own. Let them go their way and take care of their situation on their own." Jesus was moved with compassion on this multitude. Verse 16, Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You disciples take care of this situation." Why did he say that? Because he was moved with compassion. And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We don't have anything to work with. We don't have enough for ourselves. How can we take care of this multitude?" You ever feel like you're in that situation? I can't take care of me. How can I take care of you? And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. According to Erdman's handbook, that was over 15,000 people ate from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they had 12 baskets full left over. That's one woman and child per man. Why? Because Jesus was moved with compassion. And see, the church today says, "Well, boy, I feel sorry for them. I hope they get this situation taken care of. Let's pray for them." Jesus said, back in Matthew chapter 9, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers out." Why? To take care of this problem. "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends you to move with compassion and deal with the situations, not, oh yeah, well, I'll pray for you. He was concerned about the totality of the needs of the people. He healed their sick. He healed all the sick of the multitude. He took care of the sick. If you put any crowd of 5,000 people together, you're going to have sick people there. I don't care what crowd you put together. You put 5,000 people together, 15,000 people together, 5,000 men plus women and children, 15,000 people anywhere, you're going to have sick folk. You're going to have crippled folk. You're going to have blind folk. You're going to have deaf folk. Now, church, it's up to the church to stand in the shoes of Jesus. And he not only met those needs, but he was concerned about the total needs of the people that were in the field. We know they were in a field because he had them sit on the grass. He wanted to meet their spirit, soul, and body, their family needs, their financial needs. Financial needs? Well, sure, he didn't send them to town to buy food. Save your money. I'll take care of your food tonight. I'll buy you supper. Jesus, how are we going to buy supper for this crowd? We don't have that kind of money. Yeah, but we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What else do we need? I think the church has lost the concept of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, particularly today. We've lost the concept of 5 loaves and 2 fishes feeding 15,000 people. We can't conceptualize 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or yeah, five, whatever, feeding 15,000 people. I'm stuck on the 15,000 right now. We can't get that concept into our minds. Let's get it in our spirits. We can't even get the concept of healing all their sick. All their sick. Oh, well, you didn't get it, brother. Maybe you'll get it next crusade when we come through town the next time. Keep coming back. Sooner or later, you might get it if you don't die first. We'll keep praying for you. Pah! He wanted to meet every need those people had because he was moved with compassion. Are you moving with compassion? Are you moving with pity? There's a difference. Pity looks at somebody and feels sorry for them. It's a thought process. Oh, that poor guy, look at him, he's in a wheelchair. Wish there was something I could do for him. Jesus had a man let down through the roof on a pallet. Couldn't move. He wasn't in a wheelchair. He couldn't get in a wheelchair. He was let through the roof in a pallet. Jesus had a funeral procession go by. He looked at the young man in the funeral procession that was the guest of honor. And was moved with the compassion of God on the mother who was a widow. And saw with the eyes of his spirit that her total livelihood was in that casket. And moved with compassion and raised the dead. Somebody dies today for a little while, maybe. Maybe if they're a member of our church, you know, for a little while the church might take food down to the house. Maybe. Although those days are about gone by too. Maybe for a little while, if it's not too far out of our way, we might even pick them up and bring them to church. But see, pity is a thought process. Compassion sees a need and makes a way to meet it, even if it means taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and breaking them up and serving 15,000 people. Compassion sees a need and says, I know that through God I can meet that need. I don't know how I can do it in my own self, but I know there's a way to meet that need. Because with God all things are possible. Compassion looks at that dead young man in the funeral bier and says, I know I can meet that mother's need. Compassion looks at that grave of Lazarus who was meeting and taking care of his 2 sisters and says, I know that I can meet their need. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus because they were buddies. He raised Lazarus because there was nobody to take care of Mary and Martha. And besides that, he wanted to prove to the non-believers around there who God really was. That he was a God of life. Compassion is a heart process, not a thought process. Pity brings worry. Wonder how we're going to get them to church. Compassion brings action. Go over to John chapter 3. Verse 16. For God so loved the world. How about we look at that a different way? For God had compassion on the world. So he took action and gave his only beloved Son. So that whoever believes on him would not have to perish. How's that for a paraphrase? Pretty much means the same thing. God took compassion on this world. He didn't pity the world. Say, boy, I don't know. Those people down there in the grip of the devil, I created them for fellowship with me. It's too bad. He had compassion on this world. He took compassion on us, so He sent His only Son so that we could be free. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Compassion, not condemnation. Did you ever notice that Jesus never condemned anybody? Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't condemn the 9 lepers that didn't come back? He didn't say, well, you came back and said thank you, so the other 9, I guess their leprosy will have to come back on them, since they didn't say thank you. That wasn't how He reacted at all. Instead, He just gave the one that came back an extra blessing. Because you came back and thanked me, now you can be made whole. The other 9 didn't get the extra blessing. He didn't condemn anybody. He never condemns anybody. And He doesn't want His body to be condemning anyone either. Look at Romans chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgments of God. Who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality? But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. It's God's goodness that leads people to repentance, not the wrath of God. You know, there's a lot of joking about it, but preachers have been trying for years to scare the hell out of people, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But the goodness of God, the fact that God loves you and Jesus died for you, people listen to that. When people find out God isn't mad at them, it changes their whole way of thinking. When people find out there is a way into heaven, and it's not by works, but it's by what Jesus did. that allows them in. That's what gives people the impetus to repent. Pity can lead to judgment. Why can't you live like me? Well, I don't, you know, just because you're handicapped doesn't mean you can't go find a job someplace. Doesn't matter, nobody will hire them. You know, you don't have anything to eat, well, get a job and earn it like I do. We've all heard statements like that. Those statements come out of pity. Thought process. But compassion says, I'll help you do better. I'll teach you how to do things. Jesus took the 12 disciples. He took Peter. Sometime when you want to study something, study Peter. Peter was hardcore. Peter, you know, I mean, the man was either fighting with somebody or sticking his foot in his mouth half the time. And even after Jesus ascended, Peter and Paul got in a fight. And I would guess that when Peter was young, he was probably a brawler. I mean, the night Jesus was taken, what did Peter do? Everybody else ran. Peter took out his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. I don't know why he cut the guy's ear off. But Jesus had to stop on the way to the cross and heal the man's ear. Peter was always getting in trouble, but Jesus was patient with him because he was teaching Peter. He took him and he taught him and he trained him. He showed him how to minister to people. He showed him how to live. Peter and John got in a fight about who was the best. They argued about who was going to sit on the right hand of Christ when he came into his kingdom. I mean, you know, this was like a bunch of kids running around with Jesus. And he had to deal with this all the time. But he was moving with compassion and he was patient with these people. Because he was teaching them and training them. Yeah, we see people a lot that need help. And instead of saying, grab your bootstraps and pull, sometimes we need to take them and train them and teach them and be very patient with them, because just like Peter, they tend to do things the wrong way. And we have to fight with that. And sometimes we have to fight our own nature. Because Jesus probably had to, because there are probably times he wanted to turn around and whap Peter. And some of the others. But don't you understand? You're God's advertising campaign. And if you want to advertise for God, there's going to be no better advertisement than you get a multitude and heal all their sick. Or take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 15,000 people and gather up 12 baskets, and I guarantee you you'll get a multitude to more. Or take a disciple like Peter, one, and train him. But you're God's advertising campaign. And we need to extend His mercy, His compassion to a hurting world. You know, the thing that I read Sunday is where the thumb, we need to reach 4 fingers. Take 4. And extend God's mercy and compassion to those 4. Reach them with the compassion of Christ. Do something compassionate for them. Go over to 1 John chapter 4. Starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. His love has been perfected in us. Is His love perfected in us? Is it perfected enough that we can move with the kind of compassion that Jesus moved with? Can we deal with compassion? See, people can see God through your love. They can sense the presence of God when they see your love. They know that you're part of His family when they see your love. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. I'll say that again. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. God expects us to be giving of ourselves in a compassionate way to this world. He expects believers to be reaching out to the world with compassion, doing everything Jesus did for this world. Moving among people in a compassionate manner. Reaching out to touch people with God's love, with His anointing, with His power. Seeing lives change because the power of God flows through us. The anointing of God flows through us. Seeing how His love will change their lives. Can you see the fields that are white unto harvest? Or are you too busy looking in your own granary? Because the fields are definitely white. In fact, the harvest is beginning to fall off the stalk. You know, last weekend in Colorado, young men shot up YWAM, shot up a church, killed a bunch of people, left behind a note saying all he wanted to do was kill Christians. The fields are white. Well, what would cause a person to want to kill Christians? Well, you know, the first answer that comes to mind, obviously, is the devil. But as I thought about this more and more, it's what brings up this sermon. Christians are a group of people that seem to be self-righteous. Self-contained. In that they go into their churches and take care of themselves. And they're not reaching the world. Madison Avenue is reaching the world. Hollywood's reaching the world. The devil's reaching the world. Why isn't the church reaching the world? Because they're too busy trying to scratch one another's backs. Playing political games with one another. Well, it's time for it to stop. You know, the buck stops here. And it's time for a church to move with compassion. Even if it's just a little church, move with compassion and reach out and heal all their sicknesses and diseases. And do it God's way, with love. And begin to change things. And let the world see what Jesus looks like. Jesus said, I was hated, you'll be hated. But I'm telling you, that man that got his ear healed, that I talked about a little bit ago, he didn't hate Jesus. He might have had to go along with the crowd because he was kind of stuck there. And he didn't know what else to do, but he didn't hate Jesus. That guy that was let down through the roof, he didn't hate Jesus. That kid that raised up from the dead and his mother, they didn't hate Jesus. This multitude that got all their sick people healed and got fed one night, they didn't hate Jesus. Next time something happened, you know who they went to look for? Jesus. And if you reach somebody, the next time something happens, who are they going to go looking for? They're going to come looking for you. Because you can lead them to Jesus. And then what you got to do is teach them how to find Jesus on their own so they can go to somebody else. That's what's called making disciples. That's the next step in the process. But what we've got to start doing is moving with compassion and the love of God and show this world who Jesus really is. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord God, that you fill our hearts with your love, with your compassion. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you give every one of us your compassion so that we might reach this world. Give us compassionate hearts, Lord God. And send to us people, the people that you want us to reach, one at a time or multitudes, Lord. But begin to send them to us. Lord, we'll move in your compassion. We'll move in your love. We repent of the times we didn't. Of the times that we've reacted the wrong way. Father, we thank you that you filled us with your love, with your compassion. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to pray for Walt tonight. I got a call yesterday from Violet. She said they were at lunch together. And Walt started acting funny, acting strange. And all of a sudden he just looked up and he had no idea who she was or anybody around him. And they were with people that they have lunch with a couple times a week. And so I've been praying for him, but we need to agree together for him. Because he's done this before. This has happened to him before. She didn't know what happened exactly before they told him it was a stroke. So don't know if that's what this is or what, but she said he didn't even know who she was. And also I was with in a meeting this morning, and one of the ladies there, a few years ago, one of her sons committed suicide. And this week, they admitted her younger son to the behavioral health unit because he either threatened or tried to commit suicide. And he's still having problems because of his brother's suicide. And she's pretty upset about it. So we need to pray for them as well. Pardon? Okay. That's Friday. Father, in Jesus' name, I just speak health to Walt's body. I speak to his brain. I speak to his mind. Whatever's causing this problem, in the name of Jesus, we just agree together. And I speak health to that body. I speak wholeness to that body. In Jesus' name, I just loose the anointing of God into him right now. And I speak healing into that body right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that body line up with the word of God, be made whole in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, for this young man, I speak the peace of God that passes all understanding into his life. Lord, this spirit of suicide has got to go from him in the name of Jesus. I command that thing now to loose him and set him free. And I speak forth the peace of the living God into his life. I speak forth the peace that passes all understanding into him and into that entire family in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for perfect peace. Father, for Chris, I speak healing into that arm. Satan, you're a liar. You get your hands off that nerve. Get your hands off that arm. I speak forth that that arm is perfectly healed in the name of Jesus. And I command that thing now straighten out and be healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for perfect healing in her arm, in her body, in the name of Jesus. Lord, for Gary, I speak to that mass in his lung and I command that thing to go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that the tests are going to come back negative. And I thank you, Lord God, for perfect healing in his body. Father, I thank you and I praise you for a good report and that we'll hear a good report in Jesus' name. And Lord, now as we go from this place tonight, I thank you for your protection over us. I thank you, Father God, that nothing shall by any means hurt us because we stand in the protection of Almighty God. I thank you, Lord God, for your provision in our lives, that you meet every need that we have according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for a people full of your anointing, full of your love, full of your compassion, ready to reach out to those around them with your anointing, with your power, with your love, ready to change the lives of people forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.